I want you to get your Bible out and turn to John chapter number 20. The sermon is simple today. It's not a sermon that is what you call full of preaching, but it is a sermon that I think is full of necessity. It's very simple. It's called Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. John chapter 20, if you will, I want you to look at verse number 2. Stand with me, if you would. John chapter 20, look at verse number 2. And we're going to go to a couple of other verses right here in this part of the Bible. John chapter 2, verse 20, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. See those three words, whom Jesus loved. Now, I want you to go to the next chapter, John 21. John chapter 21, find verse number 7. John 21, verse number 7, again, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. Notice those three words, whom Jesus loved. Now, I want you to go to John chapter 21, verse number 20. John 21, verse number 20. And the Bible says this: Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Notice those three words, whom Jesus loved. The sermon again today is called, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help the interruptions to be very, 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 very limited. And help us to be able to concentrate on this wonderful truth of your love for us. God, give me strength to deliver this sermon in such a way that the people will absorb it and understand it. And then, Father, help all of us to be better today because we came to church and heard the greatest news known to man, that God loves us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Oh, I love that song. We would be wrong if we said it's a children's song, because it's a song for all of us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones and big ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Folks, I want to remind you of something. God loves you. God loves you. Maybe you came in here today and the last thing in the world you had in your mind was that somebody would tell you that God loved you, but I can't give you any better news. God loves you. And God loves me. And here we see in the scripture in John 20 verse 2 and John 21 7 and John 21 20, we're reminded that there was a man in the Bible named John, and John said, he described himself, he said, I am one of the people Jesus loves. He uses the words, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. I think John understood that God loved him. I love that. John is the one that God allowed to pen John 3:16. What an honor. If you all think about it, can you think of a more popular scripture anywhere in the world? Everybody knows about John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Who got to write that? Who did God use to pen that? It was John. You say, who was John? John was the one that walked around and said, I'm the guy Jesus loves. I'm the guy Jesus loves. I'm not shocked that God said, I'm going to let you pin down the most important verse that will be spread all around the world. You know, even the liberal denominations, they uplift John 3:16. If there were one verse our liberal public school system would let you get away with, it's probably John 3:16, for God so loved the world. John 3:16 tells us that God loves the whole world. Hey, that's good news. I'm glad to know that God loves the whole world, but John said he loves the whole world, but I just want to let you know he loves me. And that's where I think some of us get tripped up a little bit. I think sometimes we're so busy seeing the immensity of the love that we forget how personal it is. When God said, for God so loved the world, he meant every individual, but here's something that God's real good at. God so loved Amber And God so loved Michael. And God so loved Lily. And God so loved Michael. And God so loved Sherry. And God so loved Susan. You can put your name in there. And John, he went around saying it all the time. They said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm the disciple Jesus loves." "Well, what's your name?" "Oh, yeah, it's John. I'm John. I'm the disciple who Jesus loved." It's amazing sometimes, though, how people are not convinced of this truth. It's almost as if it is so big, we don't consider ourselves a recipient thereof. He loved the whole world, and I'm just one of the little things. I'm one of the little fish in the sea. No, in God's way of thinking, you deserve the same powerful, deep, eternal love every other human being receives from Him. God, you're not lost in God's love crowd. You know, we bundle it all together and we look at how big that is, and we might lose track of the fact that's how much God loves you. It's very, very personal. This is a very big deal to God. I think God loves you, and I think God wants you to know that He loves you. There's a problem. Sometimes the part of us that receives love gets messed up. Your love receiver can malfunction. I'll show you what I mean. I have a couple sponges up here. This sponge right here, this sponge, and so you know, folks, we're to be like a sponge. You see, I am to absorb the love of God like a sponge. I'm to take it into myself. So we should absorb the love of God like a sponge absorbs water. This sponge that I have here in my hand right now, I've got my water that I use to keep my whistle wet while I'm preaching. It also causes me to spit on the front row while I'm preaching. Any preacher that doesn't spit while he's preaching is not really preaching. I give out towels here to the front row. But this is my water. If I pour a little of this water here on my pulpit, I almost poured more than a little. That sponge is going to soak that right up. And that sponge absorbs. And that's what it's supposed to do. That's normal. That's natural. And that's what you and I are supposed to do. As if the love of God is the water, we are to absorb that love that God has for us. I have another sponge here. This second sponge, it's half, actually, of the original sponge. It's the other half of the first sponge. But there is a difference, so you know. This sponge right here, it's damaged. This sponge, it'd be hard for you to see, but it is virtually falling apart. Can you see it's deteriorating? Can you see that? It is falling apart. It's crusty. It's hard. It's damaged. And it's malfunctioning. And it does not absorb well. The first sponge, it absorbs that water. It takes it in. The porousness allows for there to be an absorption of the water. But this one is not like that. This sponge is virtually crunchy and it's wasting away. It's damaged. It is falling apart. It does not absorb like this one. Folks, God loves you right now. I want to explain something to you, though. If you're not getting it, it's not because of God. You're the sponge. And is it possible that your sponge is damaged? And therefore, you don't receive the love of God like you should? This sponge, the damaged one, it got damaged by me. I put it in the microwave today. And I didn't give it 30 seconds. I didn't even put it on popcorn mode, which is what my microwave is used for most. Thank God for the popcorn mode on your microwave. Throw my microwave popcorn in there, push a button, walk away, pops it. Perfect. That's good preaching right there. I put this sponge in the microwave and I zapped it, and I mean over and over and over again. She'd been through the fire. There's been some abuse there. Now, I did that to my sponge, and if this is Mrs. Owens' sponge, I did it to her sponge too. But that thing's damaged, been through the fire. What it's been through affected its ability to absorb. God wants us to be a healthy sponge where we absorb. And folks, every once in a while, we let the damage, we let the heartaches, we let the things of life get to our sponge. And if we're not careful, we won't absorb the love that God makes available to us because of us. Did you know something? God's love is as powerful as it's ever been. God's hand is not shortened from handing you the love that He has available. But the problem is not God's love. The problem is me and you. We're not absorbing that love like we should. And there are some who would blame God. There are some who would blame the great lover of the universe. Now, folks, if today I say to you, God loves you, and you say, I don't really get that. I have to understand, I'm not trying to offend you. There's not something wrong with the God of love. There's something wrong with your love receiver. There's something wrong with you. It's not God. And later on, I'll reapply this toward the end of the sermon. There are some people in this room, there are human beings that try to love you, but you're not getting it. And you want to blame them that they don't love you right, when in essence the real problem is you. You're the sponge. You're not receiving the love. You're not absorbing the love that's made available. God loves you. God always has loved you. And God always does love you. And we're to receive that love. Have you ever given a gift that was precious and valuable to you, and the person that took it didn't want it, or maybe didn't even receive it? That's hurtful. That's enough to break your heart. Let me ask you a question. If you went out and spent abundant money on a gift for someone, it was personal, you were passionate about it, you really thought it was going to be the greatest gift that they would ever receive in their entire life, and it's the greatest thing you could ever give them, and you handed it to them, and they said, nah, don't want it. Would you be hurt? Do you have any idea the expression of love that God made available to you and I? Do you understand how much God must love us? Wow. But there are times when we reject it. And look, remember, folks, if you don't get this thing of God's love, it is not God. It's your sponge. Your sponge is not picking up the water, if you will, of the love of God. His love is strong. His love is clean. But you're not absorbing it. John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. I think John's sponge must have been working well. You look all the way through the writings of John, and every time you turn around, he's slipping himself in there saying, and the disciple who Jesus loved was there. And the disciple whom Jesus loved got to watch that. And he didn't even give you his name. He just went around saying, yep, I'm the one he loves. Yep, I'm the one he loves. Yep, I'm the one he loves. There's some of you, when you were contemplating marriage, you sat and you wrote the fact that you loved that one you were about to marry. I could picture Mrs. Hart setting and writing before her and Rich got married. Marge loves Rich. Marge loves Rich. Marge loves Rich. I could picture that. I could picture that very well. I have no clue why, but I could picture that. Folks, understand something. John was the disciple who Jesus loved. And here's the wonderful thing about it. John knew it. John knew God loved him. And John recognized that God loved him. John accepted that God loved him. And John received that God loved him. And John enjoyed that God loved him. John absorbed the fact that God loved him. And he talked about it. Hey, we all tell others that God loves them, but it would be a good idea for you to remind yourself that God loves you. And I want to help some of you, and some of you that go through difficulties, there's one thing that you could help yourself real big when you're going through a trial, ere it be self-afflicted or any other trial. Just remind yourself, well, God loves me. So whatever you face, remember, God loves you. I call the sermon, Jesus Loves Me. This I know. Hey, do you sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, but not believe it? Jesus loves me, this I know. I know. I know. I know. There are some of you that need to realize that God loves you. This sermon's whole purpose is to help us know how to better absorb the love of God. And folks, if your sponge is damaged, you can still absorb. You don't have to stay damaged. God's the great healer. Let me explain. You say, I'm damaged a little bit. I don't receive love well. God loves you so much, He can heal your sponge. He can help you to receive. But you got to want it. You got to want it. There are some of you, you have totally misjudged God. You don't think God's adequate in His love. No, God is adequate in His love. And then there are some, you totally misjudge other people. There are people that have tried to love you, and there are people that are trying to love you. You know something? A human being can only do the best that they can. But for some of you, that's not enough. Your expectation is greater than their ability, and that is a damaged sponge. Because look, if somebody's doing the best they can, how could you ask for more? Now, with God, He is adequate. With me, I'm inadequate. You're going to have to figure some of that into my love for you. I'm just a human being. But is your sponge damaged? If it is, God can heal it. Now, listen to me, and let me get extremely practical, extremely fast. You say, Brother Owens, what do I do? I am a little distance from the truth that God loves me. I don't absorb it like I should. And maybe just let this be laced throughout the sermon. Maybe others try to love you, and you have a hard time with that too. But let me concentrate on God's love and are not absorbing it right. What can I do about it? Well, let me tell you what you can do about it. Number one, believe the Bible. Believe the Bible. Oh, Pastor, you say that about everything. You're absolutely right. I say that about everything because the Word of God is the answer for all of man's problems. Amen. Believe the Bible. You say, why? Because the Bible's true. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. Understand something, folks. God said He loves you. Believe it. When you say, I'm not sure about that, your problem is a lack of faith. You don't believe the Bible. You say, well, I don't want you to put it that way. I already did. Say, I'm not sure God loves me. Then you don't believe the Bible. And I've got news for you. I'm here to stick up for God. God ain't no liar. God said He loves you. God loves you. God's Word is to be our final authority on everything. It is the glue that holds everything together. And if God said He loves you, then God loves you. Believe the Bible. Believe it, not because you feel it. Believe it because God feels it. We depend so much on our feelings and so much on our emotions. You say, well, I'm just not feeling loved. That's your problem. God loves you. And I'd rather God feel it than me. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to feel it. But I am saying, when you take the attitude, I don't feel like He loves me, doesn't change a thing. If someday you don't feel like an American, whether you like it or not, you're an American. And God said, I love you. So I simply say to you, believe the Bible. Believe it. Folks, the Bible is 100% true. And if you ever have a difference with the Bible, you're wrong. God's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. The problem is not God's water. It's your sponge. Believe God loves you because He said so. And you can go to the bank on that. Number two, tell others that He loves them. Now, I'm trying to help you to absorb the love of God the way that you should in your life. I said, number one, believe the Bible because God said He loves you. Number two, tell others that He loves them. This is what Paul did in Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, where he said, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now, as you strengthen others' faith, you will strengthen your own. Do you know something? I'm enjoying telling all of you that God loves you. I'm going to tell you why. Because I have been overwhelmed with the thought that God loves me. I'm having so much fun right now trying to get you to realize how much God loves you, because in the process of doing so, I feel so good about the fact that God loves me. You say, Pastor, that sounds a little stingy. Maybe it is. You're looking at the preacher whom God loves. Now I'm understanding why John felt that way. John went around and told everybody, for God so loved the world. And God said, you know what? You keep spreading that. I'll make myself more and more dear and personal to you. So, believe the Bible. And then, go tell others God loves them. And listen to me. Some of you who do have a hard time with the love of God. Some of you that have a hard time being a love receiver. Let me ask you a question. How often do you tell people God loves them? Now, you go to a church that tells people God loves them. You know soul winners that tell people that God loves them. Now, I'm talking to you. See, I'm trying to help you with your sponge. It's your sponge that's damaged and falling apart and rotten and brittle and hard. Your receiver is broken. And if you want to fix your receiver, believe the Bible by faith when God tells you He loves you, and then tell others that God loves them, because you get in on the glory of that love. John told others God loved them. And he was more strongly convinced than virtually anybody in the New Testament. Think about it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. There's John telling everybody. And who is the one that will go down in history taking credit for the fact that he was the one that God loved? There's got to be a correlation in the Scriptures. When Mrs. Owens tells someone else that I love her, do you know what happens? That strengthens her belief in my love for her. When I tell someone that Mrs. Owens loves me, that not only gives them word that she loves me, it strengthens my belief in her love. And that's what will happen with you and God. Hey, did you know the same thing is true? I just thinking about the subject of the security of the believer. You just go around telling everybody they're secure in Christ Jesus and their salvation, and you probably won't be doubting your salvation. There's a strengthening that the promotion of the truth does within the individual that's promoting the truth. All right, so believe the Bible. Number two, tell others that God loves them. Number three, you have to realize God's love is not like man's love. This will help you with receiving love. It'll help you especially receiving the love of God. Realize that God's love is not like man's love. Let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 9. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is saying, folks, you got to understand something about me. I don't think the way you think. I don't act the way you think. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My feelings are not your feelings. Folks, sometimes we compare God's love to man's love. I got to tell you, you're not comparing apples and apples.
So your basis of the reception of love with God is on the foundation of how you understand man's love. Well, that's not fair. God's love is different than man's love. So realize God's love and man's love are not the same. Man's love is weak. Man's love is tainted. Man's love is conditional. Man's love is temporal. Man's love is limited. Man's love is called phileo, which doesn't mean a whole lot to you, but God's love is agape. Man's love is physical. God's love is spiritual. And there is a difference. Look, if you have been, and I'm going to tell you why some of you don't accept the love of God well. You've been let down by man's love. You therefore judge God's love on the letdown that you experience in man's love. Your mom let you down love-wise. Your dad let you down love-wise. Maybe your husband, your wife, or maybe a past spouse, they let you down love-wise. And you've been judging God on the basis of the letdown by man, but God won't let you down. And you're not comparing apples to apples. You're comparing the whole fruit orchard of the universe, of the love of God, to a seedling of man's love. Folks, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And I don't care what any man has done to you. Don't cheat God out of a sponge that could absorb the supernatural love of the God of the universe because a man let you down. We will let each other down. We don't try. But God wants you to absorb it. God's love is in a class all its own. And until you've recognized and accepted God's love, you'll probably never experience love the way you ought to. Remember, if you've been let down by man's love, don't let it contaminate your perception of God's love. And listen, if we can get you straightened out in regard to God's love, we'll start getting you healed up even about man's love. You say, some person let me down. They did not love me right. My uncle hurt me. My aunt hurt me. My dad, my grandparent, they hurt me. I did not get love like I needed to be loved. Okay, I understand that. But now you've let it come between you and God. If we get you healed right, you need to understand, not all people out there will love you wrong. But you have tainted all relationships with your wounded sponge. Let's go on. I said, number one, believe the Bible. I said, number two, tell others that He loves them. I said, number three, realize that God's love and man's love are not the same. Number four, be reminded that He hates your sin, but He loves you. Be reminded that God hates your sin, but He loves you. The Bible says in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, the truth is, the answer to that is nobody. Nobody. See, we are easily persuaded by the devil that when we sin, it causes God to stop loving us. Folks, that's not true. God hates sin. God loves you. God hates sin. God loves you. We get persuaded by the devil that when we sin, God no longer loves us. And that in part is because we think others behave the same way we do. You think everybody thinks your way. See, somebody sins against you. You don't hate their sin. You hate them because of their sin. So you get to thinking, well, everybody's probably like me. I'm a pretty good example of everything. And so now, because you think the way you think is, I hate them because of their sin, that everybody thinks that way, that's not true. Especially is that not true of God. God can love you and hate sin all at the same time. And by the way, Christian, you could hate sin and love the sinner all at the same time if you decide to be like God. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is that? That's God saying, I hate your sin, I love you, and you walk around confused. You said, I sinned, so God doesn't love me today. God loved you before you sinned, during the sin, after the sin, all the way through eternity. God loves you. Your sin did not change the love of God. Now, He doesn't retract His love. He may retract some blessing, but that doesn't mean He doesn't love you. I put my children in time out before. That didn't mean I didn't love them anymore. My kids have been told, you're not going to have ice cream. But I didn't stop loving them.
You say, that's abuse. I know, ice cream is a pretty tough thing to take away.
God may take away some ice cream in life, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. So, Jesus loves me. This I know. How am I going to absorb it properly, believe the Bible, tell others that He loves them? Realize His love is not like man's love, it's supernatural love. Be reminded that He hates your sin, but He loves you. Hey, number five, realize He must love you, or He's a liar. God must love you, or He's a liar. You say, well, preacher, I'm bad. I know some people that are very humbled by their lives. They've sinned, and they feel terrible about themselves. They feel worthless. Say, well, I feel so worthless. I'm so bad. I'm so wicked. I've done so many dumb things. I've turned on God. I've done bad things. Well, I've got good news for you. He has to love you. You say, why? He wrote it down in a book and said, I can't change. He stuck with us. Now, I think He's willingly stuck with us, but just so you know, can't get out of this. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You say, what is that? That's a promise to the whole world that He's going to love us. Here the Bible says in Hebrews 6:18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Folks, God said, I love you no matter what. Do you know what that means? God loves you no matter what. God would not stop loving you if He wanted to. You say, why? His word is too valuable to Him. He's not going to disobey His own word. He's not going to go against His own plan. If God told a lie, it would explode the universe. You know what? So God said, Brian, I love you no matter what. And maybe you're hard to love sometimes, but God said, I'm going to keep this up no matter how ornery that guy is. I'm going to keep on loving him no matter what. I'm going to love you, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to love you. And you might say one day, Brian, well, God, why do you do that? Well, God may say, because the Bible told me to. But wait, that's not all. But you know what? I would rather depend on God keeping His word than us getting real emotional and making a bunch of second guesses on this thing. God said, I'm going to love you because I told you I was going to love you. Well, God has a purity about Him, and God has a way, that sincerity and all the thickness of the love of God's available. But He can't stop loving us. Why? He promised He would. And whatever He promised in the Bible, He's got to do it. So if you're out there and you say, I'm dirty, rotten, low down, good for God, doesn't owe me anything. It doesn't matter. God loves you. I don't deserve it. Well, God loves you. I wouldn't even require it of Him. He requires it of Himself. Because He promised it in His Word. If God does not love you, He's a liar. He can't lie. Not only that, may I recommend to everybody here that if you struggle being a love receiver, especially with God, which is usually the beginning point of your healing, but even with anybody, you must stay close to the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you. You stay close to that Spirit of God that lives within you. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let me explain. God is love. God's a three-part God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. His Spirit is the one that lives within you. That means love lives in you. If you will submit to the Holy Spirit that lives within you, it will help you to absorb the love of God which He represents. I would say this. If you are a born-again Christian and you don't receive God's love well, you're not walking in the Spirit. I'll say this also. If you're a born-again Christian and you don't receive people's human, frail attempts to love you, you walk around saying, you don't love me, you don't love me, you don't really love me, nobody really loves me, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I think I'll eat worms, you're not walking in the Spirit. Because within you is the Spirit of God, which is the love of God, and that love will help and strengthen and guide you to the reception of the love that He is. Ask God's Spirit to help you to receive love properly. When you're down the most about nobody likes me, nobody loves me, you even begin to wonder, does God love me? I'll guarantee you are in the flesh. You are in the depths of despair, walking in the flesh. You're carnal, and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost at that moment. I've never seen someone filled with the Holy Ghost that's depressed. Is that a little overwhelming for you? But you're not going to find yourself there for long if you go. Because the Spirit of God will love you and help you out of that. Let's move on. If you want not to be a poor receiver of God's love, keep reading His love letter. Keep reading His love letter. And look right at me here. The Bible says in Jude, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. You say, what is that? That's the Bible. Keep yourselves in the book. If I were you and you were not receiving love well from God, I'd read every verse in the Bible on love. So that'd take a while. I did it this morning. Started in the book of Genesis. I read every verse in the Bible with the word love in it before I came to church. I wanted to be doused in the truth. I'm going to tell you something. I feel real good about the love of God. I'm real confident about the love of God right now. Why? I went to the love source. You know, I have at my house, and you men, be merciful on me, but I have a box at home where I keep the love letters from my wife. I've got cards and love letters and notes. She used to write some notes on my orange peels and things like that when I go to work. I didn't keep those. But if I ever struggle in regard to my love with my wife, you know something I can do? I can go pull out letters and read them. Look, if you're struggling with the subject of love in your life, are you pulling out the letter? That's what this book is. It's the book about the love of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to get your faith back in the love of God. You need to get your love sponge working right. We're almost done, but stay with me. I would recommend this as well, and I'm a firm believer in the word of God, as you can see. If I were you, I'd memorize verses about love in your life. I would memorize John 3:16 and Romans chapter 8 verse 38 and 39. Listen to this. Memorize this verse. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I would memorize Romans 8, 38 and 39. I'd memorize Romans 5, 8. I'd memorize Romans 5, 5. Why? Those things brought into your life will strengthen your sponge, the love of God. Now, I want to change direction. I'm going to talk for just a couple of minutes. I want to reapply this sermon. I said to you, Jesus loves me, this I know. I've given you about 8 ways to help you receive the love of God and strengthen your receiver, strengthen your sponge so you're absorbing that love right. Now listen, between husbands and wives, I think there are husbands in this room that are trying very hard to love their wives right. I think there are wives in this room that are trying very hard to love their husbands right. You want to blame the lover. Could it be you got a faulty sponge? You say, no, it's him. No, it's got to be her. Does God love you? You struggle with that one too? Maybe your sponge is damaged. There are friends that ought to love one another. You ever had someone you're trying to be a good friend to and you're trying to love them, but they just don't receive well? It may be your sponge is damaged. You want to blame, hey, listen, we can blame the water up here all we want. That water's healthy. If my sponge is not absorbing the water, it's the sponge's fault. Hey, do you know a pastor can try, and I get to experience this. I try to figure out ways to love people. Boy, you try to love them this way, and you try to love them that way, and try to figure out how in the world. I had one guy tell me, well, I tried to love them, and they wouldn't take it, so they're lost. What do I care? I don't feel that way. I'll try to love you. I'll try to approach it from the north. And if I can't get you to accept the love that way, I'll approach it from the south. And if I can't get you to accept it that way, I'll go to the east and it'll come in that way. I might come from the west. I might try to get up on top of this thing and love you down. Or I may come up from the bottom and try to figure out how to love you. I'll love you soft, love you hard, love you loud, love you Monday, Tuesday. I'm going to try everything I can. But you know what? Every once in a while, I'm thinking, how in the world do you love that person? They're distant. They will not let you get close. They will not receive your love. Now, I won't give up. But the only thing that keeps me from going crazy sometimes when I'm trying to love people is to realize sometimes it's not my love.
It's their sponge.
And most of the time it's because somebody in the past hurt them and they are now basing all their love relationships on that tainted love. Well, I've got news for you. There's a God that loves you purely, and there is possibility there might be somebody that's a human being that's truly trying to love you right, but you just won't accept it.
You children, listen to me now. Some of you young people, your mom, your dad, they try to love you, they try to love you, and they try to love you. And you just push it off. And some of the ways that parents love is by giving you direction and warning. You know, parents, you know how it feels when you're trying to love the kids and they somehow just deflect it all. Well, let me assure you something, parents. Sometimes it's not your love. It's their sponge. And young people, you better enjoy it when mom and dad are trying to help you and love you. It's a wonderful opportunity to have someone love you. You better just go ahead and absorb it. You ought to say, my mom and dad love me. This I know. This I know. If you're here today and you're not saved, let me remind you of something. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you, to be buried for you, and to be resurrected for you. And He accomplished all that, and He made a way for you to go to heaven. If you've never been saved, you ought to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Get born again. And then begin to really experience a dose of the lover of our souls, the great God of the universe. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. The challenge today has been your receiving love. Primarily the love of God. Jesus loves me, this I know. John said that, believed it, went down in history for being sincere and convinced. My first question is this. Has God spoken to your heart about how you receive His love? Are you truly receiving that? Has God spoken to your heart? Maybe some Christian here needs to, by faith, maybe some Christian here today needs to take what was said in this sermon and say, I need to work on my sponge so I'm receiving the love of God properly. Who here would say, preacher, there's no doubt in my mind, God has spoken to me, I need to be a better receiver of the love of God in my life. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Sure, lots of hands. You may put those hands down. Next question is this. Is it possible that there are people that you ought to be receiving love better from? And maybe people are trying. Maybe people are truly, sincerely trying to love you. But for some reason, your sponge is hard, falling apart, and damaged. And you'll virtually blame them that they don't love you right, but the truth is, your love receiver's damaged. And you'd say, preacher, I need to work on it. I need to work on my sponge's receiving the healthiness of its receiving capabilities. I need to work on me and receiving love better. Would you put your hand up and let God see it? Your hands everywhere. God bless you. You can put those hands down. And remember this, in a moment we're going to have an altar call, but you remember this. Don't you judge God's love on the failed love attempts from the past from other humans. Somebody let you down, didn't love you right, and hurt you. Well, that doesn't mean everybody's going to hurt you. Some of you were disappointed by a pastor in the past. You're never going to let me. You're not going to let me even close to your heart because somebody hurt you in the past, and therefore you can't have the right connection with your pastor because once somebody disappoints you, you're going to stay disappointed for the rest of your life. God never intended for you to live that way. Somebody in your family let you down, so now you're just not going to mess with this thing called love. You're just not going to let it go. You're just going to distance yourself from it because you're not willing. Just not willing to absorb it. One last question and we're done. Are you saved? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Is there somebody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I'm not born again. Pray for me. I don't know I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. In a second, I'll turn to the pianist. She'll begin to play. We'll stand. When we do stand, if you need this altar, you come. There might be someone here, that a Christian,
born again. If you're lost, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. There's some of you, you don't accept the love of God well. Maybe you need to come and ask the Lord to help you with it. There's some of you, you don't accept love from the people around you well. Maybe you need to come and say, God, help me. Help me to absorb that love properly. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You are blaming your husband. You are blaming your wife. You are blaming your mom. You are blaming your dad. You are blaming the pastor. You are blaming someone from the past. Maybe it's your sponge. Maybe it's your receiver. Maybe it's your desire to absorb. Say, I do want to get this thing of the love of God down right in my life. Well, first of all, believe it because of the Bible. Secondly, tell others that He loves them. Realize God's love and man's love is not the same. Realize God hates your sin, but He loves you. He's going to love you. He has to, or He would be a liar. Stay close to the Holy Spirit. That is the person of the Godhead that lives inside you. Read the love letter. Memorize the love verses, and I'll promise you, you'll get yourself out of this mess. There are some of you, you struggle with the loves of your life. Could I recommend that you go out and start soul winning and telling other people about Jesus Christ and that Jesus loves them, and you will ignite an absorbing of the love of God in your life. If you need the altar, it's here. John said, I'm the disciple who Jesus loved. He was an absorber of that love. Walk in the Spirit. One more time through the song. It'll be only a moment. We'll be on our way.